little bit more than mid screen, pop them up, shield slash, pop them up again, shield slash, charge star.
Hey, all right, welcome back. Episode 106 of the Shot of Games podcast. So I was telling you before our last podcast, this is going to be a spoiler alert for the Amazing Spider-Man 2 movie that came out over this weekend.
Oh yeah.
And if you guys haven't seen the movie yet, we're going to wait until later on towards the end of the podcast. So after everything else, you guys can tune out. I'll tell you this right now. So it's kind of, we'll talk about how Darth Sidious came into play in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I should have Mimi take that photo I posted.
We should ask her later on. She should.
I posted a picture comparing the two on yes. Facebook, asking who did it best.
Or was it the same person in different timelines or in different life?
I don't know. With what they're doing with the Spider-Man comics, with the Spideyverse, you never know what's going on with that.
Yeah, pretty much. Everything's all twisted around left and right.
I picked up one of the free comics for Saturday.
Well, what'd you get? What'd you get for? Apparently on Saturday it was a free comic book day. Typical, yeah. The first Saturday of March. So it's free comic book days. Go. So next year, if you guys don't know, now you guys know. Go ahead and feel free and go to comics and stuff at any comic book store. Give you two or three free comics.
Yeah. So I picked up Transformers versus G.I. Joe Zero.
Yeah.
And the Guardians of the Galaxy preview, Marvel preview.
Ah, awesome.
So, very interesting stuff. Transformers versus G.I. Joe is something you're going to want to look forward to.
Really?
But don't expect anything like you've seen from IDW in the past.
Why? Is it something a total 180 from them?
Yes. Without giving too much away, you're going to start out with the origins of G.I. Joe completely different than what you expected.
Whoa! So they give it a quick
kick
in the
bucket then.
You're
going to see the Autobots and the Decepticons coming to Earth in a different origin story than you expected.
Ooh, I should read upon that.
You start out, when you start out this game, uh-huh. or start out this comic, Snake Eyes is not Snake Eyes as you know him. He actually is talking and everything.
Whoa!
You get to find out how he becomes silent.
So, mute, you idiot.
Huh?
Mute. Silent. Mute.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
He takes a code of silence, basically, in the most stories.
Oh, dear God. All right, so the other one?
Also on the Transformers, it's a totally different art style, too. So that nice, clean, modern style you see with most IDW Transformer comics.
This is a little more nitty-gritty in a way?
This is very retro 80s. Art style.
Yeah.
It has a perfect 80s vibe. Guardians of the Galaxy. So what they did is they basically split the Marvel into different previous stories in one comic. Guardians of the Galaxy. Basically it is Tony Stark getting a new recruit to go join the Guardians of the Galaxy as an ambassador for Earth.
Really?
Yep. And a character I didn't expect, but kind of makes sense. You're actually getting Agent Venom.
Really?
Agent Venom.
Huh.
Because now Venom in the comics, Flash Thompson, is now a good guy.
Okay.
I haven't followed the story too much on how that happened or what happened. Apparently he was in the military, injured, and somehow the symbiote comes back or stayed a part of him or something, and now he's Agent Venom. He's in a wheelchair when he's not Agent Venom. You had the Spideyverse preview, which had Spider-Man and Mary Jane in Shakespearean times.
What?
Yeah.
Alright, so enough of that. We'll wait for you right up for that. Oh, well, you know, as we normally go through the podcast, we've been playing this week. Well, for me, I've been playing a whole lot more Marvel Puzzle Quest. Thanks, George, you bastard. We miss you here, buddy. Yeah, blimey bastard. What else? I've been playing a lot of... hey, at least he has somebody, Wayne. At least he lives out on his own. Shut up. wait until he hears this on his podcast. When he listens to this, he's like, what was that? He'll be coming up here on the next podcast and punch you square in the face.
He's a funny guy.
Yes. We miss that. Seriously, we miss that guy. Let's see. Let's go back again. I played Marvel Puzzle Quest. I've been playing Marvel's Capcom 2 for the Dreamcast system, which is pretty much the closest one you'll get for, you know, as animation-wise or speed-wise as the arcades. Also been playing Marvel's Capcom 1, the original one, which I hated. So many broken combos in that game. And let's see, I've been playing more recently Super Mario Kart for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, which is a whole lot of fun, a lot of 8-bit pixelated stuff.
Great.
And I've been playing and also a little bit of a Killer Instinct for the Xbox One.
Nice.
So brushing up, a little more full gore here and there. And also I've been using a lot of Spinal, went back to my old character as always. I went through, you know, a couple of ranked matches. I got my ass handed to me. Yeah, I can't really say I'm that good, but I'm, you know, good enough to hang with the best. But I got my ass beat by better ones. So, yeah, it's been kind of like that type of week for me. You know that way? It's been, past week's been kind of, alright, well, it's more of a boring news. How about you, Wayne?
So, for gaming-wise, I've...
Nothing!
Been playing...
Nothing.
Mostly Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man 2 on the Xbox One.
Tell us about it.
Okay. I'm kind of mixed about it. It's fun to play for a little while, and then you gotta get old and you put it down, but you need to pick it back up again. The first thing that threw me off was my first encounter with a villain that I had to interrogate. So when you go through the interrogation, you get the whole press Y for this scenario, press X for that, press A to say this.
It's kind of like The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
In a way, say this, say that. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you basically can go through all three of them, or you can just skip and end the conversation. But while he's interrogating this suspect to get more information, his body language had me cracking up. It made him look like somebody that was completely drunk trying to dance to,
Wow.
I mean, he was all over the place, and it's like, what are you doing, man?
So he's pretty much...
The
he's not drunk, but yet he's kind of is drunk?
Something was just funny in that scene. I don't know what was going on. Gameplay on this thing is decent. The swinging mechanism, you know, web swinging around town is okay. It could be better. Combat is fair. You get, at a certain point in the game, you start getting to where you're either a superhero or a hero or a menace based on your actions, because you can save people from fires and car chases and so forth. Those are kind of interesting. But if you get too far to the menace side, there's a special task force the police have that is paid for by Fisk Industries and Oscorp that'll hunt you down.
Wow.
And
Fisk.
If just one of those aerial bots finds you, you're almost dead. But period.
What?
It's crazy. But yeah, they bring Fisk into it. So far, he's just been shown as...
They bring Kingpin in.
Yeah. So far, he's just been shown as you know, Fisk Industries working
give
with
Oscorp. Give us Deadpool! Give us Deadpool! Wait, that's... Yeah, never mind.
But they portrayed him correctly. He is that big, towering, humongous...
Typical.
Kingpin that
typical.
He should be. They haven't done as good a job in the past portraying him, so...
Yeah, I saw one. He looks like a skinny Ethiopian kid.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. So far, I have run into Shocker, who really didn't impress me. Kraven, I just ran...
Kraven the Hunter?
I just met Kraven the Hunter, And for the time being, apparently I'm working together with him.
Until he kills you.
Yeah, until he tries to hunt me down or something, yeah.
Boss.
Well, I've already been inside of Oscorp once to rescue some people because there was a break-in. And I saw the Vulture's wings. We've seen...
Just like in the movie.
We've seen the glider. We've seen...
Just like in the movie.
Yeah, we've seen different tech stuff.
Dr. Octopus's four mechanical arms.
I didn't actually see them in there, but I'm pretty sure they were there. But yeah, different times through the game, you'll have to go back home and talk to Aunt May.
Aunt May, I need some money.
The first civilian you rescue is Stanley.
Really? Come on! Really?
And he has the best animation for any character in the game so far.
Wow.
And once you rescue him, you can go meet up with him and check in with him at his comic book stand, which is called the comic stand with the D that flickers off. So comic stand.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
So we'll give a little hint on that one then. Shoot. Alright, any more other games, Wayne?
Other than that, the Marvel Avengers Alliance, getting through the new chapter. Almost done with it. I got one more task to go. I gotta defeat the Red Hood, or defeat the Hood with a very high score.
Must be nice.
Not easy. They.
Red Hood is pretty powerful.
Yeah, the Hood is pretty powerful. But other than that, I think that would be about it on game-wise. Yeah. Actually, I did play a little more Halo Spartan Assault on my phone.
Okay.
I had a little bit of time the other day.
So, a little more breaking news for you guys. I actually did put up the pictures for WonderCon that happened about 2 weeks ago. So,
Finally
had Photoshop up and running, and I actually, edited the good ones out. If you guys go ahead and feel free to like it, share it, and feel free to, comment on it. Tell me how it is. There's a lot of good cosplayers out there. There was also a very nice Witchblade, if you guys... see it nice and clearly. And yeah, okay. So what do we have here for really Tony the Tiger?
Actually, I wanted to bring this up. Lee Marshall, who voiced Tony the Tiger, passed away.
Yes, yeah, so he was also Lee Marshall used to be a announcer for WCW World Championship Wrestling as well, back in the good old days.
And so, lots of villains on Scooby Doo.
Yes, he's a great voiceover, and he's a really great announcer too, in my opinion. Alright, so rest in peace, man. So you're gonna be truly be missed. Alright, some news this past week. Like me, I'm a huge Unreal Tournament fan, especially, I got hooked in the very first one. I played Unreal 1 and Unreal 2 and also the Unreal Awakening series.
Yeah.
I miss 3 because I didn't get time to play it, but I'm trying to find a copy of it now, thanks to this news. Unreal Tournament 4 is coming out using the Unreal Engine 4. So I'm very stoked about this. Wayne is too as well. It's kind of hard for him to be very enthusiastic, as you can tell. But there is also an announcement, Epic's Twitch channel. It'll be on Thursday, May 8th at 2 o'clock Eastern time. So that'll be, 11 o'clock in the morning over here? West Coast? Yep.
Yeah.
3 hours ahead. So that's going to be a major announcement for, again, Unreal Tournament 4. I am stoked.
This guy will be watching it.
Yes, I am. I'll be at work, but I don't give a rat's ass. Well, except for slow connection, but I'll be there watching it.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. Unreal Tournament was the game to play
back in the days. If you have if you find the secret weapon, aka the nuclear bomb, it's game over.
Yeah,
the nuclear warhead will be done.
Yeah, the first time you actually really get to play some multiplayer first-person shooter was Unreal Tournament.
Yes.
This May, we'll be getting an Xbox One update that will have some minor updates into it. The major thing about it is that Microsoft wants you to go into your settings, click on the option to provide feedback through Kinect. The reason for it is because, as you know, we all have different voices, different nuances when we talk. So,
yeah, except for this guy, he's a straight monotone voice.
Yeah, whatever.
It's true. Give us a true comment on our Facebook page.
Anyways, so they want to make sure that people can use the Kinect the way it's intended. So they share with them. It just sends a little bit of data about how you're talking, what's not working, what is working. You know, it helps gets the algorithms working better. So, not a bad idea there. Ooh, we got a release date.
All right, here we go. So, feel free to do this, Wayne.
We have a release date coming both to console and PC on June 24th. Transformers: Rise of the Darkspark.
So, which is, well, give a little heads up for the non-Transformers people. I don't know who you guys would be, but then, you know, there's sparks like.
So think of the spark as kind of the heart and soul of each Transformer. That's the easy way to put it.
Pretty much.
So, Rise of the Darkspark is going to be a very different game than we've seen in the past. It's being put together by a different studio.
Hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's Jagex. Jagex is doing the Transformers universe. Anyways, this game basically is going to be kind of a bridge and combine what we've seen in the last two games by Dark Moon Studios, and what we've seen in the movie universe. So think of the Cybertron universe and the movie universe and kind of combine them together.
So pretty much trying to bridge that gap then.
Yeah, it's
movie to video game
gap. Essentially.
Hopefully.
So I'm a little on. I'm not quite sure.
Wait, hold on. So that means Transformers 4, the new movie that's coming out soon. Right, Wayne?
Well, it'll have its own game too.
Oh.
I think High Moon Studios is actually doing the game for that one.
Yes, I've heard High Moon.
But yeah, this is different developer, although they apparently have worked with them to get things down right, but I'm not sure how that's all working. You'll still have the Cybertron op modes and all that you've seen in the previous games, but you'll also get the newer modes, you'll get the G1 modes, you get everything.
Yeah.
So
the whole nine yards then.
It's going to be very interesting.
Let's see how that one plays.
The trailers I've seen so far look pretty epic, but again, we got to see how the game plays.
So on the next, let's see, on the next article here, go up, Wayne.
So this will be
E3. So it is, Xbox, wait, go up. Xbox One boss promises new IP and sequel announcements at E3. Well, of course, E3 is coming up around the corner, which is what, next month? Definitely. So it is E3, Electronic Entertainment Expo. It's a yearly convention for every single games that's coming out. Not really games, but more of the upcoming games.
The industry, yeah.
And the industry itself. Of course, Microsoft's going to be there. Sony's going to be there too as well. Any word on Nintendo? Are they going to be there this year?
Nintendo is not going to be at E3 per se.
But they're going to have representatives over there then.
No.
What?
They're going to do like they did last year and just have a brief one day.
I can tell why they're losing a lot of shares in the market now.
Basically.
Pretty much. They're just...
They're trying to avoid the high cost of advertising in something like E3 where the general public doesn't get access to.
Ah, that's true, because this is only for the people that works in the industry.
Yeah.
Yes, I went there several times, along with George. That's how I met that crazy idiot. So what do we got going on with this one?
Well, we're going to get some major announcements at E3, obviously, but we're also going to get some announcements this month ahead of E3.
Hmm.
Not sure what those will be yet, but I'm waiting to find out. They're going to be announcing new studios it's working with. They can't say anything about Halo at this time, obviously.
We're all expecting Halo 5.
Yeah.
Typical, yeah.
You know, the overall goal is to show off the top stuff, you know.
Yeah, the whole tech stuff and whatnot. Yeah, thanks, Microsoft. Thanks.
Gaming side from Windows Phone and Cortana, all that stuff.
Of course. Microsoft's, again, E3's briefing take place in June 9th.
Yeah.
What's everyone hoping for? Well, Wayne and I is hoping for, of course, Halo 5 that's coming out. Well, hopefully coming out then, especially when they had a little 30-second teaser for the Xbox One back in the before it came out, which is
I'm really hoping for is the announcement that we will be getting Xbox 360 emulation coming to the Xbox One.
That would be fun. That would be epic.
Yes,
especially with a lot of games that you have.
Also, we may get notification that preload may come to the Xbox One, which would allow you to pre-order a game and have it download and be ready to play on release day.
So pretty much midnight.
Yeah.
When you say, "Oh, okay, it's level one," boom, there it is.
Yeah, so you can download it ahead of time, but don't play it until the actual.
But to tell you the truth, that would be fun, but yet also kind of miss out on the on the parties, you know.
I know.
The midnight releases that we do at Microsoft Store.
And we're hoping in the future more and more games that are pre-order available through the consoles directly will have some kind of bonus as you would from going and buying it.
That's true. You know. I mean, hey, remember what happened to George for... Was it Modern Warfare when he won the Xbox 360? Yeah. That bastard.
I know, right?
All
right.
So what do you got here, Wayne? Feel free.
This is Valve. Released on Valve's with their Steam's early access program. So early access games are designed to be unfinished products. You know, basically not polished. You may be missing a level or whatever. Something to give you an idea of what the game's gonna be like, but not the full game.
So pretty much a teaser.
Well, I mean, a
teaser.
A game that's still in work, you know?
A teaser.
In beta, basically. Well, what happened is a game called Earth, year 2066, which launched in April on the early access games for $20, was, you know, not finished correctly. It was having issues, you know. I guess they didn't follow the guidelines that Steam put it forward. So Steam said, you know what, screw it. We're pulling you. And we're going to give everybody refunds.
Might as well. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And Steam, Valve, well, Steam has always been honest. Been a great company. And, you know, if you do something wrong, they'll refund you your money back. So, you know, bravo on Steam side. And let's see here. Feel free to take this one too again, Wayne.
So Microsoft's game lineup is said to be very diverse according to, or just as diverse as Sony's according to Ken Loeb, who is the creative director at Microsoft Studios.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I do agree with that.
I mean, you got to look at what they have out there. You've got things like Gears of War and Halo, but you got, you know, Forza, you know, all these other things. Also, you've got Project Spark. I mean...
You also got Killer Instinct. You also got Rise, Son of Rome. You got You have Titanfall, of course.
Yeah. So I mean, he's gone on to say that Microsoft, when they're looking to put out games, they don't go out there and go, okay, we need a game to fill this slot. They look out for games that are going to be worthwhile. You know, games that are actually going to be worth putting out there, not just because, okay, we need another Halo series, so let's put out another Call of Duty series, let's just put out whatever we can get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to make sure it's actually a game that we're actually going to build correctly.
Yeah.
So.
Alrighty, so what we got here is a slimmer $200 version of a PlayStation Vita, now available. A slimmer version. I want to see the full picture again. Maybe a couple of centimeters smaller. I don't know. The PS Vita, it's a dying breed.
I think so. I mean, it's going to come in a bundle with Borderlands 2 and an 8GB memory card. But
I still love my PSP. I still have it, and I still play it.
Yeah, I have two of them, and I never play them.
What?
I know.
Brand still in the box?
No.
But you still haven't played it? Nothing?
Well, I played them a little bit early on. Mess around with a few things on them, but I never really got into many of the games on the PSPs.
Street Fighter Alpha. Yo, really?
Yeah.
Alrighty, so feel free to take this one again, Wayne.
this is interesting. So we're finally going to get a low-priced game coming to Xbox One this week. It's going to be $7. It's a game called...
Nutjitsu. It's Nutjitsu. It's pretty much like the way we read it. It's a squirrel dresses in a ninja outfit carrying a nut, an acorn.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get away from what looks like owls.
So it's a top-down arcade style game. You're gonna play as the squirrel who is out to retrieve stolen and sacred acorns from enemy fort boxes.
The golden acorn of right nut. Yeah, right. Awesome.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So, major news this week from a famous franchise. If you guys haven't seen the trailer yet, it's called Call of Duty: Advanced Warfare. It's the newest addition to the Call of Duty, the Modern Warfare series games. Well, not really modern. Yeah, the Modern Warfare series.
Yeah.
And this looks to be badass. Of course, it looks like it came out for the. The trailer for it looks like it's from the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4 graphics console.
Yeah.
But what I'm excited more about this is that one of my favorite actors is playing the villain. If you don't know who he is, go ahead and feel free to pause it, watch it, and come back. So, if you guys haven't seen it yet, it's actually Kevin Spacey.
Oh my.
One of my favorite, as I said, there's a reason why he's my favorite actor. He is that badass. His voiceover on the preview sounds awesome. It looks like him. It is him on video game form. Even though Call of Duty Ghosts was a total bummer on what I give it to, I'm actually gonna. I really want to play this game because of him.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's the guy who played Lex Luthor. Really? You can't get any better than that.
So other things that we know from that's been announced is DLC will again be first on Xbox. So I love that.
Oh yes.
It's gonna run on a new and unspecified game engine.
Yeah. So they're coming away from several ones that they've been using.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm hoping. Maybe it'll be Unreal 4, but. Or something better, maybe.
Of the new Half-Life engine,
right?
We know
that's going to open with a catastrophic event that is described like a global 9/11.
Oh, is it just like a like what? Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I'm in some kind of terrorist organization called the KVA.
KGB. Sorry, Mike.
Set in the year 2054.
We're not too far away from that. We're 40 years away from it?
Yeah, no, not that bad.
Close enough.
You'll be playing a character named Private Mitchell, who is voiced by Troy Baker. I'm sure you recognize that name.
If you guys haven't noticed, feel free to look it up. Troy Baker.
Batman Arkham Origins, yep. Joker. He only speaks during cutscenes, never during gameplay.
That's typical.
Yeah.
Like everybody else.
You'll start out as a Marine, squad mates with Will Irons, son of Private Military Company Atlas CEO Jonathan Irons. Shooter duty is done. Jonathan Irons asks Mitchell if he wants to join the Marines to join his company. So we'll see how that goes. This game is unlike other Call of Duty games, because it has only one protagonist.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll earn points every mission that can be used to upgrade your exosuit. Using the exosuit, you can climb walls with magnetic gloves, boost, dodge, cover, etc.
It's pretty much that.
Titanfall.
Titanfall status.
You'll have variable grenades, which can be switched from concussion to threat detection while they cook. I don't know about that. Some of the guns will be energy-based, so you got lasers.
Pew!
Pew,
pew. Shut up, Wayne. This should be a very interesting
game. You'll have a rideable vehicle called the Pit Bull. It's based on a real-world mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicle.
Oh, yeah. They use that out in the field.
Yeah. There's no official word yet on the on multiplayer, but they say it's going to be... just want you to imagine the possibilities.
Yeah. Typical, they're going to have, of course, a co-op mode.
Which is good, actually, because they tend to go... A lot of games don't have that anymore.
Yes.
I love co-op.
Please, if this applies to anybody, bring back the zombies.
Yes.
I want the zombies back. I mean, the only time we want to play zombies is when we play Black Ops 2. That was the last great zombie game. Typical. So that's it for the news this week. So... As we stated in the very beginning of this podcast, if you guys haven't seen the Amazing Spider-Man 2 movie yet, put it on pause or just exit out of it right now. So, ready for the spoiler alerts?
You want to talk about the Emperor?
Yeah, I know. Emperor Palpatine was in the movie. Well, if he was a brother named Jamie Foxx.
Close enough.
So, yeah. Compare what Jamie Foxx's character when he puts on the hood and Emperor Palpatine's when he puts on the hood. Which one does it better? To tell you the truth... Since Star Wars is set way in the future, way into the future,
yeah.
I bet you anything Senator Palpatine's past life, he was Electro, but a brother.
Right?
A different skin color, if you know what I mean. So yeah, this movie is actually, I like it, but it felt rushed. It felt like everything had to be rushed.
Except for that last scene.
Let's get to that. Hold on, shut up, man. Yeah, I know, we gotta go ahead and hold on to that.
Woo.
And of course, you know, the movie starts off as, you know, Spider-Man swinging, yada, yada, yada. Of course, we meet Paul Giamatti's character, which is the Rhino. But mm-hmm. he wasn't a Rhino yet. He's like a short, stump midget with tattoos around him with a Russian accent. Yeah. Of course, there's a lot of comedic ones of this works for Peter Parker's teenage character, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, they're pretty accurate when it comes to the humor side of Parker.
Yeah, so yeah, especially when he was handling the plutonium rods.
Oh yeah.
So he's like, wait, come here, hold on, hey, come here, wait, oh, where are you going?
That was perfect.
That was funny. That's how it's supposed to be. And let's see. Let's talk about the character of Jamie Foxx, which is Electro, Max.
Max Dillon.
Yeah, Max Dillon. Well, the funny thing is, he's supposed to be the son of Red Skull, which is the enemy of Captain America. So this is a huge portrayal of Max Dillon. Mm-hmm. Jamie Foxx did an amazing job on it. He kind of put his own twist to it. So he was kind of like the loner at work, the loner engineer.
Yeah.
And the way he got his powers was kind of like, what do you think of it? You know, getting electrocuted, falling down, going in the tank of electrified eels, and then, you know, being crusted over, coming back. And
it was an interesting way of doing it. I would have preferred seeing the classic Electro myself. I just always loved that character.
True, but you know, he's not German. He's a brother.
Yep.
And he's a genius, not a son of the Red Skull. That's the problem. So he can't really cross over into that much. But I really like how they did the CGI effects on him, especially mm-hmm. With the hood, you know, with the black hood going on him. Perfectly, yeah. His voice dubbed over kind of electrified voice. Going on, and the way he was looking at things, trying to find where the electricity is coming from, was really freaking awesome. It was like an X-ray scanning. What do you call
it? Well, when he got to that scene when it first started going to that.
No, when he's walking through through the middle of the street of the cars, dude, that was awesome. I loved it.
When we got to that aspect of it, there, the thing that popped in my mind was Krimzeek.
Yes.
From the old Transformers Generation cartoon.
Yes. I kind of had a little hint on that. I'm like, wait a minute. That's him.
Right?
Yeah, and also, of course, the fight scenes was awesome, especially towards the end with Electro and Spider-Man and the, you know, and that stuff. But going through things is that one character I really want to point out is, two of them, which is Norman and Harry Osborn. I mean, Norman Osborn died of a disease that Harry has now, and the part of the story is that he wants Spider-Man's genetic blood so he can actually cure himself. Well, it kind of goes like total 180 on him, and they actually found the venom. And
they give you the reason why it doesn't work too.
Oh yeah, there's a reason why it doesn't work too. The same way too, Peter Parker finds out what happened to his.
And why the spider bite actually helped.
Yes. There's a reason why for that too as well. And also, here's the real spoiler. The Amazing Spider-Man, number 121, is nicknamed the Death of Gwen Stacy. Well, mm-hmm. in the comic books, Gwen Stacy was thrown off the Manhattan Bridge by the Green Goblin, which is Norman Osborn, but yet it was taken over by Harry Osborn this time around, which is, he looks pretty awesome. He doesn't have the mask on. He has that actual, like, kind of a demon goblin look going on, but minus the hood.
Yeah.
He did, and the glider was awesome as well, and also the bombs that he threw on there and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And going back, so, you know, Gwen Stacy's, you know, was thrown off the Manhattan Bridge, but this time, Gwen Stacy was thrown off the glider, but going through the glass ceiling of a clock house, a clock tower. So Spider-Man grabs him, this and that, and, you know, it's pretty much, it ended the same way as in the comic books. Spidey tried to save him, you know, the web gets on her, and you could hear the actual, like, snap of the bone, which is kind of brutal, but yet,
yeah,
you know, a lot of people in the non-comic book readers wasn't expecting that at all. They're expecting, oh, you know, so, you know, Spider-Man saving the day, Spider-Man saving this. But yet, yeah. I was, yeah. Go ahead and flip what you saw at the theaters.
So, I'm there Friday night, which is, you know, release day. I'm in, we got there, unfortunately, a little bit late, and we didn't expect quite as much of the crowd as this time, but whatever, you know, it happens.
I always expect a large crowd in any freaking movie, especially the summertime movies, man.
Yeah.
You're a dimwit.
Usually it's fine. Anyways, we got a couple seats up towards the top there, and as that scene transgressed, as soon as you heard her bones crack, you could see parents reaching over to cover their kids' eyes.
Well, you know, I had people like everywhere. I could hear, oh my God, really?
Yeah, the gasp and oh
yeah,
my gosh.
The gasp, the awe. For me, I was in a dude in the center shaking my hand. I'm like, yes! They followed the comic. The reason why I say that is because they did follow the comic book. Though great. It's, as a comic book guy, as a guy who reads Spider-Man, this was perfect in my opinion. Great way to end her story in a way. And also the have you noticed the clothes she was wearing? Yeah. It was identical to the one that she was wearing in the comic books. Nice. Issue number 121.
Yeah.
White with purple with the purple accents on it, with purple skirt. Perfect the same way.
You notice there was a character that was introduced briefly that's gonna play a big role in the future.
Who?
Felicia Harding.
Oh yes, yes. Well, with the help of, if you guys don't know who Felicia Hardy is, she's, her dad was, going back to the comic book things, her dad was the original Black Cat. Yeah. Well, he was, when he was a child, he was first, you know, he has great memory, remembering everything. He was kind of used by the German army, or by the Red Skull, thinking that he was actually working for the U.S., Mm-hmm. So he pretty much did a total 180 on him, and he copied, well, he memorized the super soldier serum formula that was used on Captain America.
Yeah.
Well, once he thought of it, that's what happens. So in the comic books, they kind of use the super soldier serum on Felicia Hardy, what now becomes the Black Cat. Yeah. Originally, Felicia Hardy is a brunette, black hair, but when she transforms, when she, you know, starts her powers up, she has a platinum white, platinum blonde hair.
Yeah.
As a Black Cat, so she's also a great ally for Spider-Man.
Eventually,
yeah, eventually, and she was also a great help to the Sinister Six.
Uh huh.
So, going on to the ending, feel free to talk about it, Wayne, especially when Harry Osborn was in the little prison cell.
Yeah. So basically, Harry gets approached to build a team to take out Spider-Man.
And the person that asked him was, hey, how many people do you want? Harry goes, not that many. So I'm thinking to myself, huh, Sinister Six. So once he walked in, the first thing we noticed was what? Dr. Octopus' metal tentacles?
Yep.
The second one was right next to him. It was the vulture.
Mm-hmm.
Vulture's wings. The third one was half of the upper body of Rhino.
Yep.
Which, to me, that wasn't... Rhino was supposed to be a Brooklyn guy with a very hard, you know, accent going on. Yeah, it's dumb. That wants to fight. No brains.
Yep.
This guy was like straight out Russian mob.
A little off, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Paul Giamatti, really? I enjoy watching the guys in the movie, but still, why him?
And as far as that outfit goes for the Rhino, way too much firepower. Way too technical.
Yeah. Well, for our conclusion, I'm saying hopefully, you know, The Amazing Spider-Man 3, Sinister Six. You got Green Goblin already, which is Harry Osborn. You got Dr. Octopus and Vulture. You've seen the Rhino already. Who's gonna be the other two? Chameleon? Mysterio?
Or Sinister Six. You should have Shocker.
Well, let's see how that one goes, a Shocker. And the last one, who would be? Chameleon?
No.
Mysterio? Sandman?
Sandman.
How are you going to introduce them to him? There's so much to introduce the characters.
It's going to be interesting to see how they're planning this out. They may go a different route. We know they're going to do a spinoff with the Sinister Six anyways, so...
That should be fun to watch.
That'll be interesting. Yeah.
Well, without Spider-Man, though, that's going to be weird.
Well, see, I'm a big fan of Spider-Man. I grew up reading the early comics.
Amazing Spider-Man comics.
I read not only my generation of comics, you know, when I was younger, but I also read my dad's generation of comics.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
Spectacular Spider-Man.
The Spectacular Spider-Man, which is one of my favorites.
So, knowing all that, you know, that's what I grew up on. When we get into the movie, we find out, okay, now we know the past. We actually know what happened to Richard and Mary Parker. I'm like, wait a minute.
Whoa, that wasn't supposed to happen.
We're not supposed to know these things. This is supposed to stay a mystery.
So this is what Mark Webb did, and also Stan Lee wanted to do. And also, actually, to tell you the truth,
it works, but...
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they always hinted at different pieces and parts of that puzzle throughout the comics in the early days. They even took it and mixed that into, Spider-Man animated series.
The anime series.
During the 90s.
So earlier today, one of my coworkers asked me, as a comic book guy, were you expecting the death of Gwen Stacy? I'm like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, because it has to happen eventually.
I mean, she's just the girlfriend that dies. She's the one that's fed through the wolves.
She's the one that is not only the second person that he loses, but also the one person that gives him
hope.
The reason to go on, the way to handle going on.
Yes. And the funny thing is, the most infamous comic book portrayal ever. I mean, not really portrayal, but most infamous thing that ever happened in comic book history.
One of them, yeah.
What's the other one?
The death of Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, of course, Peter Parker.
Yeah, that one. There was Spider-Man has played a very big role in a lot of major events.
No, but here's the thing, though. That's the first major one that died. So I'm saying everything else is a shadow except for the death of Gwen Stacy.
Pretty much. And next one, we'll get to see Mary Jane.
We'll see.
We have to. She has to come in at this point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the third movie, we'll see how it is.
Because, I mean, come on. In the comics, she went from...
Gwen Stacy to blonde.
Gwen Stacy to Felicia, then to Mary Jane.
Yeah. Well, Felicia has to come in, too, on this one as well. Well, which she already is.
She's there.
But she has to...
Has to meet Parker.
Better to be in cahoots, maybe. Let's see how that one goes then. So yeah. So enough of the trailers. If you guys want to see it again, feel free. I'll definitely watch it again as always. anywho, again, this is Two Shots of Geek, Shot Against Podcast. Feel free to like us on Facebook. You know, keep up on our website. You know, tweet about us #2 Two Shots of Geek. What the hell are you doing? Never mind. So again, this is twoshotsofgeek.com. We're here to bring you the future 8 bits at a time. Deuces. See what he did there?